And if you're a little bit older, if you don't really identify as yourself as a child to sit on the floor, then that's fine, but, you know, you can stay where you are. But do look and listen as to what I'm talking about. So, some of you may have noticed, I brought with me, sort of mini baptismal pool, I suppose. I'm not sure anyone would really fit in there, but I'm going to have a look at some eggs. But before I do that, I want to ask you kids a question. How do you know if food is still good to eat or not? Any ideas? How would you know whether something, you know, you get something out of the fridge, is it still okay to eat or not? Any ideas? What would you do to it? Or wouldn't you care? You just eat it anyway. Yes. All good. We'd give it a smell, couldn't we? You're like, is that... You do that with the milk, don't you? Give the milk a little sniff. What else could you do? The sell-by date, good. So, you know, that's what, I guess, more for the adults. We have a look at the box, and it will tell us a best-before date or a sell-by date. And we can use that as a guide, can't we? But the problem with the sell-by dates and the use-by dates, it's a very conservative, which means that they're probably still fine, even several days after the use-before date. But, you know, they put that on there. Have a little taste, very good, if we're brave, depending on what it is. A little taste, is that okay or not? Also, we can look at it, can't we? Do that with bread, definitely. Check for mould. Any mould? Still good or not? Okay, what do we do with eggs? Because there's a special trick for eggs, which I'm sure you guys know. Go on, Amanda, tell us. Yes, that's right, yeah. It's always like, which way round is it? Which is not great, is it? If you've got that kind of... trick. It's good to remember which way round it is. But yes, you're quite right. You put the eggs in some water, and that tells you whether the eggs are still good to eat or not. If they sink to the bottom of the bowl, then they're still good. If they float up to the top, then they're gone. They're off. Throw them away. And if they're, you know, kind of, you know, just bobbing about a little bit, then they're probably okay. We need to eat them straight away. So I wonder if you can help me. I've got some eggs here. They're not chocolate eggs. They are, so not quite as exciting. So, yeah, basically, that's what we're looking at, kids, okay? I want you to help me by telling me whether my eggs here are good eggs or bad eggs, okay? If they're good eggs, they're going to go to the bottom. If they're bad eggs, they're going to float to the top. Okay, here's egg number one. Here he is, look. So those of you that are close can see here that they match. Now, can we think of a name for this egg? Jerry the egg. Okay, here's Jerry. Okay. I was wondering where I was going to let the kids put them in. I'm going to go check it out. So, Jerry the egg. Let's see. Let's pop him in. Oh. Is he a good egg or a bad egg? He's a bad egg. That's right. He's floating to the top. Who have we got next? What should we call this egg? Gaddy. Yeah, all right, Gaddy the egg. Here he is. Is he a good egg or a bad egg? Let's find out. I think he's a good egg, isn't he? He's on the bottom. He looks like he's just about on the turn, isn't it? You know what I think? Okay, next up. Aha. What's that? Alfonso. Alponcho. Alponcho the egg. Possibly because of the moustache. Let's see. Is he a good egg or a bad egg? Let's have a look. Well. There you go. He is definitely borderline there. Just about okay, I think. Next. Anyone else? Anyone want to name my egg? Say, Bob? Do you not think it's a lady egg? Bobetta or something? Betty. Yeah, let's call her Betty. Betty the egg. Let's have a look at Betty the egg. Oh no, she went straight down. Oh no. Bad egg. Right. Next. Oh, this one. Barry. Okay, Barry the egg. Now he looks like a good egg, doesn't he? Oh, smiles. He's got to be a good egg, surely. Let's have a look at Barry. Barry the egg. Just about, isn't he? He's hanging on in there. Great. Oh, sorry, I got that wrong, didn't I? Yeah, Betty was a good egg, wasn't she? She floated to the bottom, yeah. Okay. And last up. Edwina egg, button egg, pirate egg. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah, very good. Well, there you go. Well, at least I got one bad egg in there. So my point is that we can't really tell from the outside, can we? Have you heard the expression, you can't judge a book by its cover? That's true of people, isn't it? It's what's on the inside of us that counts. Now, I've got one more egg for you. He's in a special box all on his own. Here he is, look. This is Andy Egg. See the similarity there. Okay, and I wanted to tell you a little story about Andy Egg. Now, Andy Egg was born in Worcester, so about an hour and a half down south. And I grew up with my parents and my brother. Got one older brother. And, you know, generally speaking, I think I was a pretty good egg, to be honest. I obviously had my moments being a boy, but, you know, I'm mostly okay. I enjoyed school, I worked hard, won stuff at sports day. That's all good stuff, isn't it? Detentions, I think I was in single figures for detentions over my school career. So again, that's not too bad, is it? So, I'm a good egg, surely. Well, let's have a look. I've got a little beaker here. Let's pop Andy Egg in here. Oh dear. Andy Egg looks like he's actually a bad egg. Because when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to God, we can call it good and bad, but actually God looks at whether are we blameless or are we sinful. It's kind of one or the other. So even though I was a pretty good egg, I'd done most things well. Actually, was I blameless? Was I completely pure? Was I completely sin-free? No, I wasn't, which makes me a sinful egg. And there I am, floating on the top of the beaker. When I was your age, Andy Egg, so I'll try and get my stuff out. Andy Egg, not me, but Andy Egg. Andy Egg went to church, and he went to lots of Christian events. And everyone's got a different story about how they came to know Jesus. And for my story, I gave my life to Jesus several times. I know that sounds a bit odd. Each time I really meant it, but then, you know, a few weeks later, maybe not. When I was 21, I'd been to university for a whole year, and I'd been involved in church, and I'd really become to think about myself as a sort of Christian adult, really. And I was like, well, okay, am I in or am I out? I'm actually going to take this seriously. Am I going to give my life to Christ? And when I was 21, on my birthday, actually, I got baptized, which is a public declaration of coming to know Jesus. And what happened when I gave my life to Jesus is Jesus took me out of the place that I was in. He carefully put me down and he got rid of all of my bad things. He took away all of my sin. And then he filled me up with new life. Well, I'm going to drop that slippy. Filled me up with new life. And then Andy Egg, here's my big moment. Andy Egg goes in. And now Andy Egg's a good egg. He's a blameless egg. So that was me becoming to know Jesus and becoming saved and becoming a Christian. So thanks very much for listening, everybody. So the children now have got a choice. So there's craft at the bottom right-hand corner, and Jane and Jacqueline are going to help you with that. Or you can go with Luana. Where is she? Luana over there, and you can practice a dance. People that are already doing the dance, you're going out to practice, aren't you? Everyone else has got a choice one way or the other. Well, let's do that quickly and give me a little hand with this. Don't mind the boxes, that's it. I think put it right in the corner, guys. Remember, they're doing the dance. We're inviting people up, so we don't want them to start getting distracted. Up to you. I feel ready to go. And to go with this, actually, when I was waking up, getting out of bed, and then Jacqueline sent a message on our kind of WhatsApp group, because, you know, we're a cool church like that. We've got a WhatsApp group. He sent these Bible verses here, which kind of really sums up what I've just been saying. Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. And it's interesting, it's using those kind of words, isn't it? Perish and spoil are words that we can use for food, isn't it? The food that's kind of gone off. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not ever going to go off. So my new life into my new jar, we're filled with Jesus' living water, that's never going to go off or spoil. So my message to you this morning is focusing on Jesus' death on the cross. But as Easter, we're celebrating both the death and the resurrection of Jesus. They're both very much interlinked. You can't really separate them. On the cross, Jesus died for our sins, and that kind of paved the way for salvation, to be forgiven from sins. But it was only during the resurrection that we had the victory over those sins. So say they are very much one and the same event. We can't really have one without the other. We definitely can't have the resurrection before the death. That doesn't make sense. And so the death alone wasn't complete until we had the resurrection. I was thinking about this song by Stuart Townend about how deep the Father's love for us. And one of the verses actually sums up this message very well. It says, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. So what that saying is there is, everything that we are is come from Jesus. It's come from God. All of that is God-given. And therefore, we're not going to boast in anything that we can do. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. So we're going to boast in the death and the resurrection together. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. For me, that's saying, you know, why? Why does God love us so much? Why has he done all of this? Why has he sacrificed his own son on the cross for me? I don't know. I can't explain how great God's love is for me. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. So linking back to the eggs, say, we are looking at the death on the cross, but Jesus is also the celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. I've got a picture of three crosses on the screen there. That's actually, I didn't do that one. It's too good for me, but Isabel drew this for me, last Sunday, and I was, you know, she gave it to me, and I was very proud, so I said I would use it, during my message to you. We're probably more familiar with a picture that looks a bit like this. It's a picture of three men on a cross. They're being crucified. This was a punishment, that the Romans, I'm not sure the Romans invented it, but it was very popular with the Roman people as a way of punishing people for those that had done wrong. So as far as the crowd were concerned, as far as anyone that was kind of looking in from the outside, you would see a picture of three bad eggs on a cross. One cross each. Three bad eggs. They must be bad eggs because they have been tried, they have been judged, and they have been found to be guilty of the charges that were brought against them. We know, don't we, that actually this is a picture of the Lord Jesus in the center cross. So actually we know that actually it's not three bad eggs. It's actually, what, one bad egg, one good egg, and two bad eggs either side. Well, let's see. I'm going to read some verses for you, which are describing just a little bit of the events that happened as Jesus was on the cross. This is Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 34 to start with. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So there we have it. We have this picture, so of two criminals either side of Jesus. And when Jesus speaks these words, Father, forgive them, he's talking to the crowd, the people that are actually lifting him up on the cross. So, say, good eggs or bad eggs? Well, actually, I've just shown you that it's actually very difficult to tell the difference between good eggs and bad eggs, even if you know that trick. There were some, weren't there, that was just a little bit woo in the middle, and we weren't too sure either way. So when it comes to human beings, and we want to judge whether somebody is a good egg or a bad egg, it's even harder. And in fact, it's so difficult to do that God has said, you guys aren't to do that. I'm going to be judge. I'm going to decide whether people are good eggs or bad eggs. That is part of God's role as God the Father. We can, of course, judge other people by our own laws. You know, we do that. That is right. We have a law system in place. And we have a punishment system in place that involves fines, that involves points or prison or community service. You know, that's all good. We can judge against our own laws. But against God's law, he says, I will be judge. And so that's something that only God alone is qualified and worthy to do. Which gives us, again, a picture of an egg. Because the egg is actually a trinity. An egg is three things in one. It is the shell, it is the white, and it is the yolk. That makes an egg when you put them all together. And of course we know that God himself is a trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they are, say, three things in one. I think the egg is a nice picture of how the fact that they're all kind of one thing, but they all actually are very different, and they have their own personalities, and they have their own characters, and they have their own jobs to do. So God's character, part of God's character, is that he is powerful, he is mighty, and he is judge. The Bible tells us on many occasions to fear God. And I think for some of us, we think, fear God? That doesn't sound quite right. We fear God because he is mighty, because he is powerful, and because he is judge. So it is right to fear God. But actually also, part of God's character is love. The Bible tells us God is love. And in fact, you know, if there's any verse in the Bible that you may know, it could be John 3:16, which tells us that God loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. So this picture of Jesus on a cross is a picture of God's judgment, but it's also a picture of God's love as well. And the Holy Spirit, is another aspect of the Trinity of God. And he is of equal importance. It's not like, you know, you've got two big chunks. You've got, you know, a big chunk of God, big chunk of Jesus, and then a little bit of Holy Spirit on the end. They are equal in their importance. And actually, the Holy Spirit was just as much a part of the plan as Jesus was. You know, the Bible tells us that even before we were created, that Jesus was the plan to bring us to salvation. And the Holy Spirit, again, was part of that plan. He wasn't an afterthought brought on. Jesus' character is, part of Jesus' character is Saviour. And he's showing this in his death and his resurrection. Also part of Jesus' character is his mercy. To this one. So we can see Jesus' mercy and forgiveness. So even when he's on the cross, even when he must have been in so much pain, his character is still forgiving people, for they know not what they do. He's not kind of holding it against them, if you like. He's saying, yeah, okay, you know, they're doing this because they do not understand who I am. They do not understand what they are doing. And that's amazing, isn't it? That even at that point, Jesus can forgive. So what an example to us when Jesus tells us to forgive other people. Jesus has sort of set the standard and the example. I'm going to share with you a few more verses from Luke. And this is a conversation that takes place between Jesus and both criminals, but one of the criminals in particular that is next to him. And I just wanted to give a quick talk about the Gospels. Because actually this conversation is only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And whilst I was doing my research, you know, there was some sort of discussion about, well, hang about, isn't that contradictory then, that only one of the Gospels sort of recognises that this conversation took place? I think the answer is that, well, first of all, if all the Gospels were exactly the same, if all four Gospels, and when I say Gospels, I mean four accounts, four different people writing down what happened, if all four were exactly the same, why would we need four? They'd all be the same. So when you read one, you've already got the others. Also, I think, well, if they'd all kind of written the same sort of thing, they'd all recorded the same stuff, they'd all heard the same things, they'd all seen all exactly the same things, from a non-Christian perspective, wouldn't you be thinking, well, that's a bit suspicious, isn't it? It's almost as if they kind of had a sit down afterwards and sort of like, okay, let's all get our story straight here. What exactly are we going to say? What exactly happened? Actually, I think it's a lot more realistic that, you know, this conversation was only, well, it was over and done with in 30 seconds. Isn't it actually a lot more realistic that actually some of the gospel writers wouldn't have heard it and actually only one of them did? Makes more sense to me that way. So let's have a look at what I'm talking about. So this is Luke chapter 23, a little bit later on, verses 39 to 43. It says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. So that's one of the criminals saying that. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So we've got, say, these two criminals. So to start with, I said, three bad eggs on the cross. We know that Jesus isn't. Jesus was innocent of what he was convicted of. Jesus lived a pure and perfect life. But he's got two bad eggs next to him. Or do we? One of them sounds like he is, because he was, it says he railed at Jesus. Which means that, you know, he was basically shouting at him. He wasn't looking for a conversation. He was just, being nasty to Jesus. But the other person, he has a conversation with Jesus, a most wonderful conversation, where it sounds as if Jesus is actually giving him a personal invitation to join him in paradise. So from a human perspective, this guy was a bad egg. He was a criminal. What did he do? We don't know. Under the Roman law, it might not have been all that much. Some of the Bible verses describe them as thieves, as robbers. So if he had stolen something from the wrong kind of person, if he'd have stolen, I don't know, a golden goblet from someone that was in a very high up position, that might have been enough to sentence him to death on the cross. We don't know what his sort of backstory was. But here is Jesus telling him face to face that he'll be all right. I was thinking it was a bit like an Ed Sheeran concert. Thought that might have woken you up a little bit. So am I comparing heaven to Ed Sheeran concert? Well, yes, but only for just a few minutes, just to kind of get my illustration across. Ed Sheeran, probably, you know, the biggest ticket in town at the moment, isn't it? There were lots, if there was a big Ed Sheeran concert, there were lots of routes which you can go to get tickets to that concert. There'll be a website to go to. There'll be a phone number to call. You could probably go in person to the venue and you can stand in the queue and you can get your tickets. So there are options, different options for how you can get your tickets. It's a bit like this man on the cross, this criminal. It's a bit like he met Ed Sheeran in the pub, on the train, somewhere. He just met him. And they got chatting. And Ed Sheeran said, tell you what, come to my gig, come to my concert on Saturday. When you get there, send me a text and I'll sort it out. So the man goes, and when he gets to the door, you know, they've got the big bouncers there, or big security there, checking tickets. He sends Ed Sheeran a text, Ed Sheeran comes from backstage and says, yeah, he's with me, brings him through. No questions asked. So we might be thinking that, say, it's not really fair that this criminal has kind of jumped the queue almost. He's kind of taken a direct route. But Jesus can do what he likes, can't he? He's God. So is this good news or is this bad news? I think maybe, say, for some of us, we might be thinking, well, that's not fair because he was a criminal, because he might have done all of these bad things, but Jesus is still recognising him and bringing him in. But for me, that's a yippee moment. Because, say, if Jesus is going to save this person on the cross next to him, then what does that say about him saving me? So I believe that all of us, you know, we can't have our sort of actual face-to-face moment with Jesus anymore. Jesus has died and he's risen and he's gone to heaven. So our opportunity to kind of be next to him on the cross, to actually speak to him face to face, has gone. We can't do that. But what we do have is the Holy Spirit, which is our opportunity to close our eyes, or not, and just to speak to Jesus, to speak to God, and the Holy Spirit will enable that to happen. So we can have our conversation to talk to God. And we can actually follow the lead of that criminal on the cross and just say, Father, remember me when I come to stand before God. And what we need to do, say, is written here in the song that I told you at the start. So first of all, we need to recognise that we are in need of a saviour. We need to recognise that nothing that we have done in our own lives is going to make up for that deficit. We need to recognise who Jesus Christ is. We need to boast in Jesus Christ and in what his death and resurrection has brought us. And then we simply need to accept that gift of life, that fresh water, that fresh start that I showed you with Andy Egg. So have you spoken to Jesus yet? Is my question to you. Have you had that one-on-one chat with Jesus? Some of you may be still thinking about doing so. All those that already have had that chat with Jesus, already have given their lives to Jesus, then Easter Sunday is a celebration of what that means and how Jesus has saved us. So, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's worship again now. Amen.